May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that happens if you live for 14 years in a shrimping village, fishing village, is you will meet some characters. It's just something about fishermen and characters that just go together. One of the fellows that I got to know right well was his name Lynn. His wife was an Episcopalian, he was not, but unfortunately, when I got to Darien, she was in the last stages of breast cancer. But then I got to know Lynn while working with his wife. And then after her death, Lynn, who'd never before expressed any interest in religion, all of a sudden decided he wanted to find out a whole lot more. And I will tell you, I've never seen anybody more devoted to their spouse than Lynn was, nor have I ever known anybody who missed his spouse. And it was clear in talking with him, his interest in religion was his interest in seeing his wife again. And Lynn would do some odd things. He would read all these books written by pastors of all different stripes that you can imagine, and then he would copy them. Copy, not the whole book, but paragraphs or chapters, and he would send them to me. Copy them by hand and send them to me. I guess this was his way of trying to digest what he was reading. But one day he sent me a long article, actually. He didn't copy this one. And it was a preacher who was preaching against the horrors of cremation. How that if you cremated a body, you've already sent that body to hell. And not only that, if the body was destroyed, then all hope of everlasting life was destroyed. It was a long diatribe. And it obviously bothered him, and I don't know exactly why it bothered him, but it did. So I spent some time and wrote him a long letter back. Told him how that the church feels it's very important to be dignified with respect to the deceased person. But that Christians down through the ages have often had their bodies destroyed, whether in war or actually in fires. Particularly, if you're a fisherman, you know that some fishermen don't come back. They're lost at sea, and they end up literally being eaten by the fishes. But even more important than that is that all of us, when we die, regardless of what funeral arrangements we might make, our bodies decompose. We go back. We say it at the funeral service. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Told him, don't worry about your body with regards to the resurrection. We need to treat it with respect and dignity, but that your resurrection from the dead is not dependent upon how you are buried. I bring that out today because our gospel lesson last week and this lesson have a lot to do with the body. First and foremost, the body is important to us in the church. The body is important in our baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed, the oldest creed of the Christian church. It says right there, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Here on Sundays, we say the Nicene Creed, and it's easier. We say we believe in the resurrection of the dead. But the Apostles' Creed, the creed that was said at the time you were baptized, if you were baptized here in the Episcopal Church, says, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Jesus, God, became incarnate in a human body. And he sanctified the body for all of us. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, cared for the body. The vast majority of his miracles were healing miracles, where he was restoring a human body. And of course, in this season of Easter, we celebrate the greatest aspect of the body, the resurrection of Jesus, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. As we heard in our gospel lesson today from Luke, and what we heard, a very similar lesson last week. Not too often we get 2 weeks in a row with almost the same lesson. And what you find in those lessons is that on the first Easter evening, The disciples are in the upper room locked for fear of the leaders of the Jews, that what might happen to them. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the midst of them. He's somehow gone through the door or the walls or whatever. He appears. And in our reading from Luke, it's quite clear. They think he's a ghost. That he's not a body. He's some sort of spirit. And Jesus says, "Look at my hands and feet. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And then he ate a piece of fish. Of course, last week he came there and he showed them his hands and his side. Jesus, you see, on that first Easter day was not some resurrected spirit, but was a physical body, bore the scars of his suffering, but it wasn't quite like our bodies now. Because he entered a locked room. The gospel writers felt it very important to tell us that the resurrected Jesus had both a physical, more earthly body and also a heavenly body at the same time. By the way, it's not too surprising in that, because if you continue to read in Scripture and get to the very end, to the book of Revelation, we see where the New Jerusalem comes down to earth and joined together, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. And in some ways, what our gospel lessons are telling us today with the example of Jesus is that there is a new body, a resurrected body that is both heavenly and earthly. So why is all this important, other than a fodder for discussions about how we bury the dead? It's important because our bodies are important to us as Christians. Everyone here has been given a human body. That happened at your birth. You're given a human body, and you are a steward of that body. That means that you're required to take care of it and to use it properly. Our bodies are the instruments through which we live our lives. How we use our body tells us the tale of our lives. In this life, the question then, are our bodies the instruments of the kingdom of God? Or are they not? Peter, in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, he healed a body through the name of Jesus. Healed the man who could not walk so that he could walk. And then Peter said something to that crowd. And that was the crowd that had called for Jesus' crucifixion. He told them to repent, to turn their bodies to the will of God, to the kingdom of God, and that the good news is that their sins will be forgiven. And the good news is to us today, to the extent that we have misused our bodies. We have used our bodies in ways that separate us from God. Not that God ever separates us from Him, but that the misuse of our bodies will no longer be held against us. That we have an opening to that resurrected body, the perfected body that awaits all who call on Jesus, if we simply turn back to Him. Now, there's another interesting aspect about the body that's in our lesson from last week, even more so than this week. And that is that when Jesus showed them His body, He showed them His hands and His side. He bore the scars of the crucifixion. It's interesting. They don't say whether that was pain. The scars are still painful or not. We don't know. I know if it had been me, they would have still been painful. But the scars were there. And I think it is reasonable for us to assume that somehow how we live our life will actually affect our resurrected body. We don't know how. Matter of fact, the Corinthians asked Paul about what the resurrected body was going to be like, and he said, "You're foolish if you want to try to figure it out. All he can tell you is that it will be imperishable." We just don't know what the body will be like, but personally, I suspect how we live our lives will say something about our resurrected body. Personally, I would like a resurrected body with a little bit more shoulders and a little bit less around the middle. But that's the kind of foolishness that Paul tells us to avoid. What we do know is the body counts. both in this life and the next. And while we cannot know much about the resurrected body, we do know that how we are interred, how the manner of our death is not going to affect the resurrected body. And we do know that what we do in this life will make a difference. We do know that we need to turn ourselves, in the words of the Rite One Eucharistic prayer, to turn our souls and bodies to the one who loves us, to the one who accepted the scars of the cross for our salvation. And if we do that, if we repent where we have turned astray, we can be confident in the glory of the resurrected body, whatever it may be, that awaits us in the life eternal. Amen.